Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. We didn't request prayer tonight. I forgot to, but we've been praying for Aunt Kay, Brian's Aunt Kay. She had heart surgery today. As far as we know, she did well. And we're thankful for that. Amen. And we never know what we're going to face. But I thank God I know this. Whatever I face, I won't have to face it alone. Amen. I've got a precious Savior. I've got a precious family. And I thank the Lord for His promises. Amen. Tonight, I want to look at the scripture in Hebrews chapter number 11. We've been preaching in a series of messages entitled Faith, the Evidence of Things Not Seen. The Evidence of Things Not Seen. Every one of us ought to be concerned about our own life, that there's evidence in our life that we are a genuine, born-again believer. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. God put these people in here and recorded them in the Word of God to let us know that God knew they had faith. And I want to remind you that faith is something you and I can't see, but we can see the evidence of it. That's where Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So men can see the evidence of faith, but they can't see faith. But God actually knows, beloved, the moment that we trust Him, the moment that we believe in Him. And I praise the Lord for that. Verse 23 tonight is where we're going to pick up our reading in the text. The Word of God said, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he should be destroyed, or lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." Pray with me a moment. Would you, Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Encourage us tonight. It's the midweek prayer meeting, Lord, and I know that some are tired, Lord, in body. But God, I pray tonight that you'd encourage your people. Strengthen us, our Father, tonight. Peradventure, our Father, there be someone here that don't know you. May this be the night, Lord, they know the joy of sins forgiven, the joy of knowing that their name is written in heaven, and God, that heavy load of sin, that burden has been lifted. Help us now, Lord, as we look at the life of Moses for a few minutes tonight. God, we'll give you glory, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. I'll read this to you tonight just to kind of kick the sermon off tonight. When Hudson Taylor went to China, he made the voyage on a sailing vessel. As it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock on his stateroom door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind. We are drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear that they are cannibals." "What can I do?" asked Taylor. "I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." All right, Captain, I will. But you must set the sail. I like it. Why, that's ridiculous, the captain said. There's not even the slightest breeze. Besides, the sailors will think I'm crazy. But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionary still on his knees. He said, "You can stop praying now. We've got more wind than we know what to do with." Amen. I'm telling you, in the life of Moses, over and over and over again, beloved, he set the sail. Say amen. When he reached that rod out over the sea, amen, he just done what God told him to do. When he smote that rock, amen, he just done what God told him to do. And I'm telling you, beloved, I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that we need to believe God. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm of the opinion that many of God's people today are haphazardly seeking him. They seek him when it's urgent, or they seek him when it's convenient. But I believe, beloved, with all of my heart, God wants us to get down to business. Amen. I don't know about you, and I'm not here to preach politics tonight, but I believe there's some people going to Washington that's aiming to take care of business. And it's scaring some people to death. Amen. Amen. If you've got a job in Washington and you're not doing your job, I believe I'd be shaking right now. Amen. You might be out of a job before long. And I tell you tonight, Moses did what God wanted him to do. Let's start plowing tonight in the message here. First thing we see tonight is by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. I like this, especially with what's going on today in the world, where the babies are, instead of being protected, beloved, they're more concerned about protecting the right to kill the babies. And I'm telling you, beloved, it's sad. But God had a purpose for Moses before Moses ever knew that God had a purpose for him. It thrills me to think that God can take a little boy, amen, like Moses, and do what he did with Moses. But it becomes personal to me. Do you all understand that when I was in elementary school and middle school and even high school, beloved, there is no way that you would have got me to get up in front of a crowd like this tonight and say boo, let alone preach, amen, the word of God. But God knew, beloved, way back yonder on December the 31st, 1959. You say, why'd you say that, preacher? Everybody ought to know the preacher's birthday. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, on New Year's Eve, the last day of the 50s, God knew there'd come a day when I would understand my need of him. And I thank God for that. God knew about Moses. His mom and dad, they saw that he was a proper child. And I love these words. They were not afraid of the king's commandments. Honey, I'm going to tell you, when the commandment of the earthly king crosses up with the commandment of the heavenly king, you better go with the commandment of the heavenly king. Say amen. The Bible said there in the book of Acts, it's better to obey God than man. Amen. And thank God Moses had a mom and daddy that wasn't afraid of Pharaoh. They feared the Lord. And the word of God said, by faith, they hid this little boy. And if you know the story, you know that Moses ended up, they put him there in the bulrushes, amen. And really, that goes along, and God sailed that thing right down there, Brother Brian, where Pharaoh's daughter was, and she found him, amen. Then she went to looking for somebody to nurse him. And you wonder who God had in mind, amen. He ended right back in mommy's lap. Say amen. You can't improve on God's plan, amen. By faith, he talks first about the faith of his parents. Now I'm going to look at some words tonight as we go down through here. I forgot to ask Miss Eve, but I think these are verbs. Amen. I think that's what they are. The word refusing, would that be a verb, Miss Eve? It would, okay. And if you were to say they were lightly refusing, then that lightly would be an adverb, wouldn't it? That's free. Don't charge anybody for that English lesson tonight. Amen. Y'all ought to be married to a teacher. Amen. Every once in a while, Brother Rick, I just like to say something sideways and watch her cringe. Amen. It's good for her. Amen. Good for her humility. Amen. And so tonight, I want to look at some words. The first word, the verb I'm looking at, is the word refusing. The Bible said by faith Moses, when he was come to years. That must have been a time in his life. And I believe that time's different for different people. I don't believe everybody comes to age when they're 12 or comes to age when they're 10. And for whatever it's worth, you can get mad at me if you want to. But young ladies mature a lot quicker than young men. Say amen. Normally they do. Amen. But Moses came to years, and the Word of God said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You say, Pastor, what's the evidence there in our lives? There ought to be some things in your life and my life we refuse. There ought to be some things we refuse to look at. There ought to be some things, beloved, that we refuse to listen to. There ought to be some things that we refuse to put in our body. Amen? There ought to be some places we refuse to go. Somebody say amen. There ought to be some words that we refuse to say. Amen? That won't bring honor, won't bring glory. And so I believe that's evidence of faith. Amen? I had a guy one time, he said, listen, he said, I know you like to hunt. He said, we're selling raffle tickets on a Bible. Not a Bible, a raffle. I don't know what I was thinking about there. He said, don't you want to buy some of these raffle tickets? He said, you'd have a good chance of winning a raffle. I said, no, I can't do that. He said, why not? I said, because I want to preach on the lottery Sunday morning. Amen. So I can't buy your raffle ticket. Amen. And I thank God tonight, beloved. They're just honored. You say, well, Pastor, that rubs me the wrong way. Well, that's okay. I'm just telling you, there's some things I'm going to refuse to do till Jesus comes. Say amen. I'm going to refuse. I'm not giving up my Bible. I refuse to give it up. I'm not giving up the old time way. I refuse to give it up. Amen. I still believe in old time conviction. I'm praying for a young man right now, and I'm praying God gets a heart on him that it'll just help him to come to Jesus. Amen. And to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The next word in the message tonight, looking at faith, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence in the life of Moses. It's seen in the refusing, but then it's seen in the choosing. The Bible said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You've probably heard somebody say this, there's no pleasure in sin. The Bible doesn't teach that. There is pleasure in sin. Somebody say amen. There's pleasure in sin. But the Bible teaches us it's a season. Let me tell you something about sin season. It's short. It's a short season. You say, well, what if somebody sins their whole life? It's still a short season. Life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it vanishes away. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was, when he says here with the people of God, he is identifying himself with Israel. Amen. I'm going to just say this to you tonight. I feel sorry for anybody that says they're a Christian and they don't want to identify with the church. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if you're going to live for God and you're not going to live by faith, you shouldn't be ashamed to identify. Amen. If you're going to live like hell, don't tell them where you go to church. Amen. But if you love the Lord and you've got faith in your heart, amen, then, beloved, we ought to be in a place where we're not ashamed, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I'm reminded as I look at that of my high school days. Over 2,000 people in our high school. That's where I met Miss Eve. Can any good thing come out of Edgewood? You better believe it. My wife did. Amen. I drug her right on out of there. Amen. I asked her to go steady one time, the first time. And she said, no, I can't believe that. But she said no. But you know, I'm like the devil. I was persistent. I kept going back. Amen. And finally she said yes. But I tell you what I remember about that high school. There was some people, not many, six of them. Every morning as you went into that high school, they gathered around that flagpole there and held hands and bowed their heads and talked to the God of heaven. You say, Pastor, why do you remember that? Because I remember how I felt when I walked by, when I saw that. I knew they had something I needed. They wasn't ashamed. There were people in that school made fun of them. Amen. But I tell you, thank God they chose rather, amen, to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And Moses is like that. Beloved, he doesn't care to be identified with God's people. Turn to Joshua just a minute. Joshua chapter number 24. Here's another man in the Bible that's a great example of this. In Joshua chapter number 24, let's look here in the Word of God together. I want to start reading tonight in verse number 13. The Bible said here, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor. The reason I'm reading that text tonight is because what God is picturing in that text is grace. I have a salvation tonight that I didn't work for. I have a home and glory land tonight that I didn't earn and I don't deserve. Amen. God said, I've given you a land for which you did not labor and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them, and vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do ye eat. Now watch this. Now therefore, Joshua said, fear the Lord. And serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And the Bible said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Glory to God. Joshua brought him to a place, a crossroads. He said, you're going to have to make up your mind. Are you going to serve them dead gods, them little D-G-O-D-S's over there? Or are you going to serve the God of heaven? I believe God brings every one of us to a crossroad. Amen. And I tell you, it's a happy day when you give up them little G-O-D-S's for the God of heaven. The Bible said, it's evil to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, beloved, it looks to me like in the text concerning Moses, in the text concerning Joshua, it is a conscious choice that we must make to serve the Lord. Amen. Choose you this day. So when we're refusing, that's evidence, beloved, of faith in our life. When we're making the right choices, that's evidence of faith in our life. The next word that I see is in verse number 26. It's the word esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Beloved, what he's talking about here is he waited out. He put the reproach of Christ and the riches of Egypt, and he waited out. And you know what God did? God let him make the right decision. He took the one, beloved, that was the hard road temporarily. But glory to God, it was a good road in eternity. Amen. He could have took the easy road and took the riches of Egypt. But he took that road, beloved, being identified with God's people. And beloved, the reproach. I want you to get this. I want you to listen to this now. There was a preacher years ago that I heard say something like this. You can't find Christ in the Old Testament. I'm telling you, beloved, it'd be better to keep your mouth shut and let everybody think you're a fool as to open your mouth and remove all doubt. The Word of God said right there about Moses, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of... Amen. I'm telling you, I don't know what God let Moses see, but I'll tell you what he said, by faith, Moses, by faith, Moses, by faith, Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses knew at the end of the way, he's going to face God. Amen. And that reward at the end of the way was worth more than anything on the journey. Amen. And that's a blessing to get to that place in our life. Look at verse 27. We've looked at the word refusing, the word choosing, the word esteeming. These are evidences of faith in the life of Moses. And in verse number 27, the Word of God said, by faith he forsook Egypt. You ought to write down the word forsaking. Listen to me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe, beloved, when a man is genuinely born again, there's some things he's going to want to forsake. Amen. First of all, he's going to have to forsake his pride. Amen. The Word of God said we're going to have to humble ourselves like a little child. Amen. Or if we don't, we'll in no wise enter in. And we're going to have to forsake, beloved, our self-will. I love what Brother Mitchell said. There's so many things he said that stuck in my heart as he preached through the years. But one of the things he said, you're going to have to take sides with God against yourself. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we've got to forsake that self-life and look to the Savior. He forsook Egypt. That's Egypt is a type of the world. Amen. I love what an old preacher said years ago. I hate that it's true, but he said this. He said the church has got so worldly and the world has got so churchy, you can't hardly tell the difference. Amen. It hadn't ought to be that way. God said we ought to be a peculiar people. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're just going to be peculiar to be peculiar. No, if you love God and serve God and have faith in your heart and evidence of that faith, you will be different, amen, than this wicked world that we live in today. Forsaking, he forsook Egypt. And then the next thing I see, I underline the phrase, not fearing. I tell you, beloved, I think it's in Hebrews. Let me see if I can find it here. Let's see, Hebrews, maybe it's chapter 13. It is. Go with me to chapter 13 in the book of Hebrews. The Bible said, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and which suffer adversity as being yourselves in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Most of this generation don't believe that. Say amen. You wouldn't be shacking up if you believed that. Say amen. You wouldn't be doing it. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You say, that's your favorite verse, Brother Gary, or one of them anyway. But watch this. Look at verse number 6. That we may say, glory to God, there's a reason we ought to be excited that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I tell you, thank God Almighty, I told some deacons one time, listen, it's putting the pressure on me, amen, to do something I didn't want to do. And that's what I told them. I said, fellas, I tell you right now, I'd rather have the yellow line with Jesus than the pulpit without him. Amen. Amen. You say, what's the yellow line? That's that guy in the middle of the road out there. I'd rather have it run right in front of the church where I was pastoring, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God has a man here that's not afraid. He's not afraid. I think there's a man headed to the presidency he's not afraid. Amen. And we need that. Say amen. Oh, you say they're going to talk about him. I don't care what you do, they're going to talk about you. Amen. You might as well go ahead and do right. Amen. Do what God wants you to do. And then the Word of God said this, by faith he forsook Egypt. This is evidence of faith in his life. Not fearing. That's evidence. The wrath of the king. You say, that king's mad. I tell you what he said. There's another king I'm more concerned about. Amen. I'll tell you about him in a minute. Amen. And then you see the word enduring. Look at that. For he endured. Enduring. You know something? I love it when I get out of bed in the morning and I can just enjoy my day. I love it. But can I tell you something? There's some days I don't enjoy. There's some days I have to endure. There's some troubles that God's people, this health and wealth gospel is a bunch of garbage. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, man that's born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble. That's what Job said. That's the word of God. Amen. I reckon they skip that verse. I don't know what they do. Amen. Sow your $100 seed and everything going to be good. I'm going to tell you what's the truth. There's a judgment day coming for that crowd. Amen. That won't preach the whole counsel of God. Oh, I don't preach against sin. That ain't in my lane. I'm not going to preach hell because that ain't in my lane. I tell you what, you just preach the Bible. Amen. And get it. You know what I believe? I believe men like that ain't even in the saved lane. You can say whatever you want to. I tell you, they don't fear God like Moses did. Amen. Moses feared God. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. And the Word of God talks about enduring. Look here in chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews. The Bible said, for consider him. Brother Jason, you was telling me that was the first message you heard me preach. Amen. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. For ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I tell you, you take the worst that I've ever had to endure. You take the worst, beloved, where people are putting their mouth on us. Amen. I'm telling you, take the worst physical pain and you carry it to Calvary. And I tell you, you want to wad it and put it in your back in your pocket because it's nothing compared to what he went through with for me. Amen. Enduring. And then the Word of God said, as seeing him who is invisible. You know what? Here's what I wrote down. I wanted you to get this. God give it to me. The natural eye saw the danger from King Pharaoh. But the spiritual eye saw the deliverance from King Jesus. Glory to God. That's what we need to see. As seeing him who is invisible. Amen. Listen, Moses wasn't operating on the natural eye. I've said many times, too many of us have horizontal vision. And we got to have that. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we need to turn, like the songwriter said, our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. So that last word in that verse there is seeing. He's forsaken. He's not fearing. He's enduring. He's seeing. And all of these things are evidence of faith in the life of Moses. And then the next word is the word keeping. The Word of God said in verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. God come along and told Moses, said, you're going to have to kill a lamb. Going to have to be a lamb in every household. Going to have to kill that lamb. And I guess, illustrate that sometimes. Is there an offering plate down there? I guess they're all gone, ain't they? Offering plate's all gone. Now, I don't see an offering plate. What a church, amen, and no offering plate. Amen. All right, I'll use the cup. Dump the cough drops out of it. But that blood in the body of that lamb, there's the lamb. He's a perfect lamb. He's a spotless lamb. He's standing out there in the backyard. That blood in the body of that lamb wasn't going to help him. That blood in the basin, it wasn't going to help him. Hyssop is like a brush. It's a plant, and they used it like a brush to sprinkle or to apply blood. They dip it in the blood. That blood on the brush wasn't going to help them. That blood had to be applied to the doorpost, that's both sides, and the lintel. Never shall forget the day when God spoke to my heart. And God showed me not only, Brother Brian, where the blood was, but He showed me where the blood was not. It was not on the threshold. You can look at the book of Hebrews. The Bible said they trodden underfoot the blood of the covenant and counted it an unclean thing. The blood of Jesus Christ was not made to be walked on. It was not made to be walked over, but it was made, thank God Almighty, to be walked through. And by faith, beloved, Moses told the children of Israel, youngins, listen, there's the death angel. And God said, when I see the blood, listen, you can know about the blood and not be saved. That blood has to be applied. Amen. And only the Holy Ghost of the living God can apply that blood in your heart and in my life. Amen. I tell you, I believe you know when it happens. You say, Pastor, what happens when that blood touches a man? I tell you, that man all of a sudden that was filthy is clean. All of a sudden was guilty. It's forgiven. All of a sudden that heavy load is lifted. I've never believed that you're saved by feelings, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. But if you get born of the Spirit of God, you're going to feel something. God's going to take that load off of you. Amen. And God's going to give you that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Through faith He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. There's only one reason I'm going to heaven. That blood. I love that song, Brother Dale. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's not when I see your baptism certificate and when I see how much you prayed or how much you read your Bible or how many churches you belong to or how many, beloved, listen, good deeds you've done. It's when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Amen. I love the other song that says, when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Thank God tonight Moses was keeping. That's evidence of that life of faith. And then the word of God, the last one I'm going to use in verse 29, is the word passing. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying or trying to do were drowned. You see, the Egyptians, they went out. This is something to think about. The Israelites didn't have courage, but they had a leader that had faith. So they went into that Red Sea on dry ground, not because of their courage, but because of their faith. Here come the Egyptians. Here come Pharaoh and his army. They got courage. They're thinking something like this: if they can do it, we can too. And so they went right in after them. And God let that thing just collapse. Say amen. This bunch of infidels, this bunch of liberals, this bunch of modernists said, oh, it was a swamp where they crawled. Well, look at that. God drowned Pharaoh, his horses, and his whole army in a swamp. It's a miracle either way you look at it. I'm just going to believe the God of the Bible. He said there's a wall of water on this side, a wall of water on that side, and I don't believe there was any mud coming up between their toes. He said it was dry ground. I believe them beloved chariots was kicking up dust. It was so dry going across that riverbed, passing. Beloved, listen. There's one thing I want to mention tonight. I hate to leave on this note, but it needs to be mentioned. The Bible said of Moses, now the man Moses was very meek above all men that were upon the face of the earth. Many people, they mistook meekness for weakness. Moses was a meek man. There was not a meeker man. Beloved, to be meek means he was not self-willed. He was not concerned with his own way or his own ideas. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. But there was a time when Moses got in the flesh. I'm going to ask you a question. This is personal tonight. How many of y'all are saved? Are you saved? And I'm going to ask you another question. I'm going to look at my daughter when I ask this. Since you've been saved, you ever gotten the flesh? Amen. Oh, thank God for an honest daughter. Amen. You know why she can be honest? Because she's seen me in the flesh too, Brother John. Amen. Sister Kathy, you ain't never seen John in the flesh, have you? Oh, boy. That little head's giving it that. Say amen. You fool me, I'll ask your spouse. Amen. Amen. But Moses got in the flesh. I want to show you something tonight. Go back to Exodus with me just a moment. Exodus chapter 17. Won't be long at all. Let me cover this right here because it needs to be covered. Exodus chapter number 17. And let's look here tonight what the Word of God said. I want to show you something. The Bible said in verse number 6 of Exodus 17, "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb." Y'all remember that verse over there in chapter 10 of the book of 1 Corinthians that said, that rock there in the wilderness followed them. And then it said this, that rock was Christ. That's what it said. Amen. I believe it. Now watch this. He was the water of life a long time before he ever said that, wasn't he? Amen. Let me show you something. "Behold, I stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. And there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not?" We see right there that God told Moses to smite the rock. I believe the rock in the book of Exodus is a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's why it's repeated like it is in the book of Corinthians. Now I want you to go with me, if you will, to the book of Numbers. Numbers tonight, chapter 20 and verse number 7. Let's read a few verses together here. "And the Lord spake unto Moses. He said, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock." Now, I'm not real smart, but there's a big difference in talking and smiting, speaking and smiting. He says, "Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give the congregation and their beasts drink." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Hear now, you rebels." Let me say something to you tonight. When you hear somebody accusing somebody else of something, there's a whole lot of times they're guilty of what they're accusing of. When Moses said, "Hear now, you rebels," we're fixing to find out that the rebel was Moses. He got in the flesh. "Hear now, you rebels," watch what he said, "must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Beloved, Moses didn't fetch water out the first time, did he? He just obeyed God, and by faith God gave them the water that they needed. Watch this now. "And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice." Think about that for just a minute. "He smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. He said, Because you believed me not to sanctify me." They were taking glory, Brother Brian, that belonged to God. They were acting like they did something when God had to do this miracle. "Because you believe me not to sanctify me." See, we've talked all night about the faith of Moses. I wanted to just share with you, there's a failure in his life too. Now, I don't believe there's a believer sitting in the congregation tonight that doesn't have a failure in your life somewhere along the way. Most of us have several of them. Say amen. But here's what I want to tell you. Here's a failure, and it cost Moses his trip into the promised land. Y'all know that. Let's just read that real quickly. And the congregation drank the beast. All the Lord spake unto Moses there, because he believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I give them. It cost him dearly. He got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to go in. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm telling you tonight, I'm going to close with this. He said, this is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord and he was sanctified in them. Now here's something. Listen right here tonight. There's a whole lot of people would take a failure like that and they'd say, well, surely if anything, that put him out of the family. Surely with anything, he fell from the grace of God, so to speak. He's out. Listen. He's going to bust hell wide open, some would say. Here's what I want to tell you. God put him right there in Hebrews chapter number 11. That failure had a consequence. And every one of us, that sin, there'll be a consequence for that sin. But that blood, hallelujah, has forgiven us. Amen. Our entrance into heaven is not because of our performance. It's because of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I looked at this afternoon again and read those two texts, it reminded me of something that a preacher said. And we've got several preachers here tonight. It reminded me of something that a preacher said years ago that I never have forgotten. He said, the reason some of you men get up on Sunday morning and you got to get something off your chest, he said, you just don't have enough on your heart. Think about that. I'm telling you what's the truth. If you preach and you've ever gotten in the flesh and ever had to repent and get right over it, you don't want to do it again. Amen. But I'm telling you, Moses was a man, not a meeker man. Moses was a man that had a failure in his life. David, a man after God's own heart, had a failure in his life. How many's glad? I close with this. We've got a Father that's bigger than our failures. Glory to God. Amen. I want to live by faith, don't you? I want there to be evidence in my life. Amen. Evidence that I know Jesus in the free pardon of sin. How many's glad you come tonight?